Grief is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
I'd like to welcome you all to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Tiffany Ware, and I am here today with, I'm going to say a brother, I'm going to say my classmate, somebody I'd have known, honestly, probably since, I'm going to take it back to my little brother. His mother, Miss Mamie Gray, was my little brother's preschool teacher. And if it wasn't for Miss Mamie, my little brother probably would not have stayed at the YMCA in preschool. He fell in love with her. And from that point on, I met Steve probably in church as we were kids and on through high school. So I would like to introduce the most of you guys, Pastor Steve Gray Jr. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it. I was thinking about it and I was like, wow, we go back so long. Like, it's crazy. And, you know, we are almost hitting 40, like we're knocking at 40's door. So a lot of life experience has happened definitely in our years. And of course, you had like the best relationship with Quentin, and he definitely considered you a brother. You was always there for him no matter what. As crazy as Quentin was, you was always in his corner and supporting him and reaching out. And so we go back too. So we had really good time. So I just appreciate you for your time today and being on with me. But I wanted to start off, Steve, honestly, with you just introducing yourself, letting the people know who is Steve Gray Jr. We all know you're a pastor, husband, son, father, all of that. But who is Steve Gray Jr.?
Yeah, it's an honor and a privilege to be here, Tiffany, my sister, and friend.
Yes, sir.
My name is Pastor Steve Gray Jr., George Stevenson Gray Jr., for all those that didn't know. But a husband, pastor, worker, been pastoring for 12 years. Love people, love God, love the community. Worked in a lot of different aspects in the city of Columbia. Been here since I was, I think, in kindergarten. Went to Brown, went to Baker, I believe that's where I met Tiffany as well, and then of course with Thorne Central, Columbia State, and Lambeth University. So worked at the Boys and Girls Club, at the Juvenile Detention Center. Went to the Mary County Jail for 2 years, going in, ministering and encouraging people every Sunday morning. Just done a lot of work in the community to help people, to encourage people with this thing we call life. That's me, father of eight. I always tell my, this is my mother in love. Mama Brand said, I'd always say, we're a big, blessed, blended, beautiful family. And so me and my wife have brought four kids to the table. And so we have an eight, is that old TV show, Eight is Enough. And they called us the Black Brady Bunch. And so we have one grandson as well.
Yeah.
So we definitely know how to bring people together. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's a blessing. And so well, I'm grateful and thankful. That's me in a nutshell. I work for the city of Columbia as well. I clean buildings and I'm a pastor. So I have three capacities of work and ministry. And my wife, lovely Lynn Gray, is hairstylist at Hair Works. And so mother, Pastor Mamie Gray, World Life Ministry Church, son of the late Pastor Steve Gray Senior, and two sisters, Angela and Tasha. And that's pretty much y'all know me better now.
Yeah, that was good, Steve. Yeah, for sure. It's funny you said the Black Brady Bunch. Like y'all did mesh just like that. I never even thought about that. But yeah, and what's funny about that is the age range with Lynn's oldest daughter and then your baby boy.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, like y'all are going through like all those years at this point. So that's cool. That's awesome. So thank you for telling us about you, Steve.
Three little ones up under young adults. We have adults and young adults that range from 30 to 19, 30, 31 to 19. And then we have our 10, 8, and 9. And those are our three youngest.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm sure it's never a boring day in y'all's house, I'm sure. I know they keep y'all going. It's such a blessing to have that family unit, for sure. For sure. Well, Steve, I always like opening this up with a little bit of an icebreaker. Of course, we're here to talk about grief and just how to move forward in our lives. But I had a question. As we mentioned, you know, we've known each other a long time. And so my icebreaker question for you is, what is one thing you would go back and tell your younger self? Because we've all, you know, we've lived a good, 39 years of life at this point, both of us. But I would say like your high school self, what have you learned over these years that you would go back? Maybe some advice you would give to somebody your age from back then.
Good point. I do with our young ones that we tell them, just take your time. Enjoy the moment.
That's good.
We would hear a lot of people tell us that when we was in high school and, you know, in college, you know, different things. And so, and you're also always, I guess with society and then in your own mindset, you're always growing, wanting to long to grow up fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to grow up because you think adults have freedom, and they do. But I always tell my kids, as I've learned over the years, with age comes freedom, but with freedom comes accountability and responsibility. And
yes, sir. On
the freedom side. And so I think that's what we press toward. Whatever our parents didn't let us do, everybody had different type of parents. But you're like, man, I can't wait till I get grown. And so I can be able to do this and do that. And, you know, it looks like they just able to do everything and, you know, all mm-hmm. and stuff. Until that reality check hits and you get older and you got to, you know, the things that they took care of, the soap, the tissue, the
mm-hmm.
lights, the...
Yeah,
all the stuff that you just never thought of, you know, it wasn't a big deal because you didn't have to take care of it. And
right.
So I would say just slow down and enjoy the moment. I enjoyed my years, but I think everybody in some capacity was looking forward to growing up or moving away or getting out and getting on their own and so forth. And so just enjoying that time that life is happening with everybody, with family, with sports, with school, with, because, you know, classmates is not here, people is not here. You just don't really understand the essence of the moment that you just enjoy life.
Yeah, that's good, Steve. I couldn't agree with you more, you know, and a lot of times I think our parents kind of from the same generation, you know, you grew up, couldn't do this or that. But like now I see the bigger picture in that, you know, when you think about, you know, a lot of people, you know, we may have went to school with or whatever, you know, you kind of see why I couldn't do this or why I couldn't have done that. So that's great advice for sure. So Steve, I want to roll on into our conversation. One person I had the great pleasure of knowing was your father, Pastor Steve Gray Sr. And so I want you to just tell the people a little bit about who he was to you in this moment. And so we can honor him.
Wow. Great, mighty man of God. My father, of course, he's my father, my pastor. Of course, just coming out of this early this month, Father's Day was another season that always holds a special place in my heart to remember. I think this was maybe the 13th Father's Day without him here. It's been 13 years. And so, I mean, great man, great father, a lot like a lot of my mom and people that know him close say I remind him of him. A lot of people probably didn't know a strong disciplinary. Y'all see the big old smile. He was everybody knew him in the community. He would always help out people, pick up the kids. And what it taught us, which a lot of people don't understand, when you have somebody that's a great father, he's always been there since I've been brought into this world. I don't know the feeling of not having a father until he passed. Being present in sports, with schooling, of course in church. We made to go to church, we were gonna be there. And not just, he didn't let us sit on the sideline. We were active in church. We had to be a part. We couldn't sit on the bench. We had to get in the game. And so he pushed us. He was someone who always pushed us out of our comfort zone, which didn't feel good, but I'm thankful, grateful that he did, because in our comfort zone we stay in complacency and we'll never know our full potential. And so he always, what he's seen in you, he was trying to get it out of you. And so he's seen greatness, I've seen potential. So great man, and great ministry, started Word of Life. I mean, I've seen him. When we first moved here from Columbia, my dad was from Decatur, Alabama, one of 10. And moved here, well, 11, to know, one of 11, but moved. He was the only grade that moved to Columbia, Tennessee, to Tennessee, period. He said God had led him. He met my mother from Pulaski, Tennessee. He moved from Decatur. They had me there in Pulaski. They got married, moved to Columbia, which is a neutral site. And we grew up here in Columbia. And so from 5 years old all the way up in Columbia Gardens, then he was pastor, and then he pastored in Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in on West Side, and then pastored at First Baptist Church on East 8th Street. And then years after that, he said God has touched him to start a non-denominational ministry, and that was Word of Life, and Word of Life Inner City Youth Ministry. And so I just seen the transformation from the traditional, from the different ways he allowed us to go. He took us in 2002 to College Park, Georgia, to Creflo Church, and one other church, I think Mount Vernon was there from Columbia, but we got to see Kenton Jones and all these people gospel rapping, and which was foreign in 2002, you know, and seeing the aspect of it. And he said, we got to bring this back to Columbia. And I seen him embrace it, and as a pastor and a leader, be open to change just because, and to, you know, say, of course, the message stays the same, but the methods must change. And for him to be open and to allow us to start coming back and rapping and singing, and even wear my hair braided to church, because pre-production, my daddy was, if I had my hair braided all through the week, you ain't wearing braids to church, you know. So until then, he opened. But a great man, supportive in every way, strong, disciplinary. I believe I got my last whooping when I was 16. And he let me know that you're not grown. And he said, that belt don't work no more. I'm gonna grab this stitching cord. And this stitching cord humbled me. Amen. So, I know in this day and time, they would be trying to call the police and say, but I tell people, I said, I needed all those whoopings. I was the rebellious one. I was the one that needed, I averaged 2, 3 whoopings a day. I needed all of them, and I'm grateful and thankful, because ain't no telling what else I would have been and what I would have been doing if he didn't. But that's him.
Yeah, that's good, Steve. And yeah, that's real talk. Two things. What I always admired that about your dad. You know, he allowed the gospel rap. He allowed, you know, that was very, like you say, back in the, like, that was very new to our community, and just how it did draw the youth in, which is a prime example of why we have to change, you know, and come out of the comfort zone. And so that's something I always definitely admired about him and your mother, just how they embraced that newness to pull people, especially the youth. Yeah, I always admired that. And you said something else I was going to mention. Oh, how he actually brought out, you know, when he seen this or that in you or your sisters or whoever, like he really keyed in on that. Okay, we need to bring that you know, talent and use that in the service of God. And so I really like that as well. And I just knew him from, of course, being a pastor, but everything you just said, I definitely see it. And a lot of those same characteristics I definitely see in you. And I'm going to get to that too a little, because I was going to mention that to you too a little on down in our conversation today. But with that being said, Steve, of course, I know your father went through an illness, and I remember on one of your lives, you talked about how he never stopped. Like, he never stopped going to church. He didn't stop preaching. He didn't stop XYZ. And, you know, during his illness, I'm sure he had every reason to stop, you know, but he didn't. So my question is, what did that teach you about resilience? When you seen him just keep going, yet he was going through what he was going through. Like, what did that teach you during those moments of time?
Wow. Great question. He lived what he taught. Not only talk the talk, but he walked the walk. It's a lot of people that say a lot of things or quote the scriptures, but don't, you know, obey them or live it. And he didn't just teach it, preach it. He actually lived it and was able to reach people. So it pressed me because, and a lot of people ask now, like, how you keep on just seeing that? Ooh, I'm trying not to even get, just seeing that, just to put you in the mind frame, to see somebody have an illness that we didn't know, couldn't figure out, was going to doctors, going to Vanderbilt, St. Thomas, going to Centennial, nobody could figure out, and he was just losing weight. I mean, he wasn't a big guy, maybe 5'10", maybe 190 or so, and went all the way down to less than 100 pounds. He was like 75, 85. And we was like, what's going on? Mm. But he would not stop, even when we wanted him to stop. Because I think we were more cautious of, we've never seen this man in this state. He's always been active, always doing things for us, with the community, with people. I mean, a life of service and servanthood, most definitely. And so to see him become weak, become not able to be mobile, not able to wash himself, not able to do things on his own, but still say, you know, I'm going to church and I got to give the word. Not just sitting in church. I'm going.
Right.
You'll have to preach. And I tell people that, I mean, this, like, when people say, what you do for Christ shall last, he knew that I was fulfilling my assignment. I knew that I had to keep going because he said, I know God can heal me from this. Because the Bible says not all sickness is unto death. Not all, but some is. And so I know God, there's no doubt about it. But he said, I believe it's my time. And he said, I need to prepare y'all to keep going on with ministry and life. And so he would allow us to do different things and say, yeah, do this, do this. He was even instructed while he was in his lesser physical state. I mean, how great. Do things and run this while you're not even able to do it. And then so what the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. His spirit was so willing, even in his physical state when he wasn't able to. And so, I mean, we would run shifts. My mom would pick up the van. We would switch. The kids and my sisters would go get the sound equipment set up. They would be preparing for service. I would go pick him up, wash him up, pick him up like a baby, and put him in the car. I'm like, man, did he? Why? You know, I got to fulfill it. I got to fulfill my assignment. And so most people, when they're sick like that, you don't want to be around nobody. Let alone worried about how people look at you. You worried about how, you know, their talk, the negativity. That push and that press, and he would get up there and sit in the chair just like I'm sitting and would give and preach like never before. And to see that, he didn't allow his circumstance to be his conclusion. And so, that right there, when I get tired, when I get what with life, I'm like, I revert back to that. Like, he pushed and pressed while he yet, like, blah, blah, blah. People say, while the blood was running warm still in his veins, no matter if he was going through that. And so that's how I continue to go on. I use those moments, those memories, those moments, the messages that he gave for motivation. That's like four right there to keep going on instead of allowing it to keep me stagnant and stop and not do anything. Because Bible says one man planted the seed, one man water, but God gives the increase. And so he planted plenty of seeds. And so I need to water it and God will give the increase.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's such great strength, you know, Steve. And I think that's motivation, even you sharing that right now. I know it's motivation for me for sure, but I'm sure it will be for any of our, you know, people who watch this interview, because a lot of times we do have different challenges in life and we want to give up. We want to quit life. We want to, you know, even, you know, it's hard to go to church, you know, sometimes. But just that story alone, you know, all that he went through, he kept pressing his way. And so I think that's great motivation for a lot of people right now that we have, you know, to complete the mission that God has sent forth for us. And so thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
That was very powerful. With that being said, Steve, one other thing we often talk about on this podcast is, you know, when we think about the stages of grief, you know, after someone has transitioned to a heavenly reward, we think about, you know, sometimes we go through denial. We go through, you know, just not even believing this has happened. But at some point, we have to get to acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I heard you say a minute ago that your dad had kind of started preparing you guys along his journey and giving those instructions. So my question for you is, how long do you think it took you to get to a point of acceptance with your dad's transition?
Very quickly. And I know that's different for some people, and but very quickly. I started while he was still here, like he was preparing us. That specific, it was the last Sunday he was able actually to go to work, I mean to church.
Okay.
I went to go pick him up. Shaden got him dressed and stuff, and I'm like, okay, dude, we finna go service. And he was like, I'm about to get my glorified body. And I said, yeah, you're gonna be healed on this side. And he kind of looked at me, because when we say people get healing, it's either on this side or that side, especially when they're a believer in Christ, because, you know, there's no pain, there's no sickness. We all see the songs and the different things that we talk about. On that side, no sickness over there. So when we say healing, when we're praying for healing, it brought me to a space, and I talked to my mom. I think I grasped it, and I talked to my mom and my sisters and them. I was like, because we're praying for you to stay. And I said, you know, I had to come to a point, and this might help somebody, that I had to realize, am I being selfish? And if he's saying he's tired, and he's ready to go. And I'm praying, God, let your will be done. I did this with my grandmother as well. I told my aunties and different ones. I said, we're praying for God to heal on this side. But if he doesn't, we know that absent from the body, present of the Lord, that he's going to be healed on that side. We know it's our will, what we want. God has a will. And then that person has free will. So we could be praying for them to stay, and they like, I'm tired and I'm ready to go. And
that's right, like, Steve,
so the Lord, and I said, so acceptance then, when I seen it, I prayed for him. The breath of life went out of his body, went right there. And this was when nobody was around, when we was at home, and I'm picking him up. I'm like, Daddy, wake up. And it was 10, 15 minutes, no pulse, no breathing, no. So, you know, even your brain, your oxygen and all that stuff is, but no breathing, no pulse. And it was a moment for me, like a transitional moment. Like, now, do you really, here's the chance. Can you pray, man who prayed for you? Can, And you lay hands on him like he's laid hands on you and spoke sickness off of you and said you're going to be healed. Like, do you really believe? Like, this is where the rubber meets the road. And it was a transitional thing because I wouldn't be able to grow in the capacity as a man, a father, a husband, a pastor, if I really did not believe in healing. Like, sometimes we can believe that God hears them and we wow, God here, I just need to be around them, but we don't believe enough that we can lay hands. And the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, this was the time. So I'm kneeling down praying for my daddy. Nobody, not in church, at home, nobody else around, praying for him. And the breath of life came back into him. He opened his eyes and he was like, I wiped my eyes. I went up, picked him up, took him, set him in the van, drove him to church. He went on and preached just like nothing happened. And I'm sitting in there and told nobody. And so I was like, that gave me the inclination that, wow, God wants to use you, but he has the power to heal him. He just brought him back to life through your prayer, through your faith. So if he doesn't allow him to stay here, it's not because he can't. And not because he doesn't hear your prayers, it's not his will or his timing. So I didn't even tell anybody about that until probably 5 years after he passed. So I first accepted it before he even passed. Like, it was just a matter of time. And of course, that really, you know, that was something hard to deal with. And so I started preparing my mind. I'm the only boy. I have a mother. I have two sisters. You know, at that time I had a daughter and a wife. And so that time I really I felt like it started to help me prepare to be strong for them and to accept it to be strong for myself. And so that way I accepted it then. And then doing ministry, going through everyday life without him, you couldn't.
Yeah.
We were carrying the load of the ministry and missing him as a father, as well as a pastor. So there was no time for, I say this to a lot of people, we were leading while we were bleeding. A lot of people can take off service, don't go to church for a while, you know, but we were in leadership position and we had families, we had a whole, not only did we lose our father and our pastor, but the whole flock of people lost the pastor. So if we decided to go home and we ain't coming to church for 3 months or whatever, let us get some time, what were they supposed to do? And so we really, we really continued to lead and bleed at the same time. And it was an everyday process of greeting, of grieving, of praying, of talking, of just learning how to go step by step, day by day with life. And not only just as a father, but as a pastor to carry, I mean, you're carrying the weight of what he built without him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the loss of, you know, your father and my mother losing, you know, the loss of a husband and to see, you know, dad and want to step up. And so it was definitely a challenge. I can see why people, you know, go through anger, go through resentment, go through suicide, go through all those different things. You're not crazy because you have those thoughts. The Bible says, walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Say you won't feel it. I felt like giving up. I felt like committing suicide. I felt like, why did you take him? There's people killing people out here. These people molesting people out here. Why God? You know, and so, but I had to accept the fact of it was his time. He lived a long life of longevity and purposeful life. Maybe not in years. 48 years is not a long time on earth, but it's a long purposeful life. Some people 97 years and didn't know their purpose, but he was flowing and operating his purpose. So I had to use that. So that's how I accepted it and continue to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, Steve. And I bet the foundation that was set early on, like, you know, what he had been teaching y'all the whole, you know, just the whole time, even before, you know, his illness, I bet that shifted a lot of your perspective too. Because you kind of had those foundational principles already. Of course, you're going to be sad and all that, but you knew it was something, a greater picture that needed to be carried out. So thank you for, I just eloquently answered that question, because that definitely makes so much sense. And when we think about scripture, it kind of tells us how to handle, mm-hmm. you know, these challenges that are thrown our way. But are we reading? Are we applying it? Are we, so I like how you roll that out. Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. I want you to share, I feel like you've already kind of told me, I was going to ask you, what do you pass down to your children that your dad taught you? But I feel like everything you already said applies there. So I'm going to ask you this. What's your favorite memory of your dad?
I would say so many. Sports. Him hollering, I could hear him out of everybody. If it was packed, you know, Central Old Gym, you know, I could hear my daddy's voice out of everybody in there. I would know and where he was at and where he wasn't in college, at Columbia State, graduating, hugging him. I just seen a picture that popped up in my memories of him. And me mm-hmm. hugging at, you know, high school graduation, Columbia graduation. And then he would bring, even when I had a daughter, Raya, where he would bring Raya and my mom and my sister and them to Jackson. And when I would play and just those different things. But really to hold, he got to see. And you think about things like this when you get older. He got to see only one of our eight beautiful children that we have now, Raya. He got to see his granddaughter. I mean, to have a grandbaby before, you know, and Raya has a special bond with him as well. But I would always like, why did I have, you know, so early? But it brought us in full circle, because I had Raya at 19, my second year at pregnant with her at 18 at Columbia State, because I graduated when I was 17. But mm-hmm. it just brought it full circle, because if I did not have her then, he wouldn't even got to see a granddaughter. So that's definitely one of the biggest things. When he told me, you're a strong man, I'm proud of you, husband and father, when I went through my first marriage, and he said, man, you... Yeah. He said, I don't know if I could have went through what you went through. To hear your father say that and everything went through, you know, to seeing his brothers and different ones, seeing his sister get hit by a drunk driver at 3 years old in Decatur, Alabama. See one of his brothers pass, you know, pastors doing all kind of funerals, been to so many different praying for people, hospitals, all kind of different. For this man to say that to me, that was something special. And then I'll end with this one, the one in 2011. When I was getting ordained as a deacon, and I was supposed to go overseas, and we had to land on West 4th and McGuire Street, and I had a contract to go over to Germany, and he had took it, got it certified, made sure we went up to the court office and the judge, you know, making sure everything was legit. And we had plans about building on the, I said, yeah, daddy, I can go over there and make this money and come back and send it to you. And you can, y'all can build the facility and stuff. And cause I just wanted to be up under him.
Yeah.
I wanted to be around him. Like, I ain't got to lead it. I ain't got to, you know, I ain't got to get all the way right, cause he right. I just got to be around. You ever felt like you just wanted to be around somebody that was doing
it? Yeah. Just in their presence.
When it shifted and it didn't work out like that, and I was like, okay, God, why is this happening? You know, we got some and the good things that we're trying to do. Not just, I want to get a new house and do all this. I want to do some kingdom work to make some, you know, changes in the community. And it brought me to a message that I did. It's good, but is it God? It was. It's a good thing, but it wasn't God's time. And then everything in the Bible talks about in the beginning, when he said, when God, only reason why things were good, because God said they were good. Until we got fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil. So we call evil good sometimes because we ate of that tree. But before that, everything that was good because God said it was good.
Right. I'm like, that's true.
That was good, but he was like, it wasn't my time. I got a bigger purpose for you. So me not going overseas and being able to be up under him and be a deacon and be in ministry with him and doing life and ministry with him gave me the time that I wouldn't have had if I would have been overseas. And then, of course, as he went, got sick and different things, I wouldn't have been there. There's no way
to
get back and forth. And it's priceless.
Right.
And time that I can cherish and gives me encouragement and to move forward. So that, but in 2011, he told me, I was getting ordained as a deacon. He said, son, I might not be able to see it. And this was the before he was in perfectly good health. He was really walking in prophetic prophecy.
Okay.
I'm getting ordained as a deacon. I'm there with my wife there, Orion them. He said, son, you're going to, I know you're getting ordained as a deacon today, but you're going to take this ministry on. You're going to reach I can't reach. I might not even be able to see it. And, you know, kind of like how Martin Luther King was saying with his dream, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, hold on, daddy. I'm just getting a deacon. I just want
to. Like, taking me too fast.
I want to take the ministry on now. Hold on now. I'm just, you know, playing my part. But he's thinking.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to take the ministry on. I might not be able to get to see the building get built, the gymnasium and all this stuff, but you're going to take the ministry on. And it was just, I play that sometimes. Just, he said, but endure hardship as a good soldier, as Paul told me. And he said, so he was kind of giving me, like, I know some things about the transition, but endure hardship as a good soldier. Like, you're going to be okay. I might not be here, but if you always tell us, son, I got to teach you to have a relationship with God, because if you don't, I'm not going to always be here. And if I
need
everything, you're really making me your God. And so I need you to have a relationship. Yeah. You're looking to me, but I'm teaching you to look to God, because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But leave you, and it might not be voluntary, because, you know, if I'm here, I'm going to be here. But if not. And so I replay that like anytime to get that encouragement, to just be reminded, to be, you know, of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
That's good, Steve. And he was definitely speaking prophetically, you know, for sure, with all you have been able to accomplish over these years, and you know, even where you're at right now with starting your own, you know, your own ministry. And you're definitely carrying out that work he started, for sure. And that's a good segue actually into our next conversation. I always say, I love your tagline, young pastor, spread the word of God faster. And I always think about that, you know, I think about you because like, it is like your tagline. That's who you are in ministry. So you said you've been in ministry for 12 years now, right?
Yeah.
12 years. Wow. And of course I would be remiss without mentioning, you know, Lady Lynn, because she has been such a strong woman that has added a lot of value, I'm sure, to your life, and not only to your life, you know, the kids, the even your ministry. And so with that being said, I always like to acknowledge that person that's standing beside you, because it's very important as individual to have your companion, your partner there, your wife. I want to ask you this. Of course, you stepped out. Was it this year or last year? And you started. Okay. And you started Reaching All Generations Kingdom Ministries. And I noticed there has been a reoccurring theme that I've watched a lot of the lives, and it's been Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, when the Bible talks about, you know, seasons and a time for this, a time for that. How have you really applied that passage of scripture? I just know it's kind of been heavy within the ministry, to where you are currently in your life.
Man, great question. a lot of people that know me, that's one of my favorite scriptures because it's one of the realest and most applicable scriptures that I have seen and referenced in my life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it gives you every season that you go through in life. There's a time to be born, there's a time to be to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up, which is planted. There's a time to rend, there's a time to give, there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time of love, there's a time of war. And so it's so real. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through those are the seasons. So it's not just like a flat line or like an increase, like we want life to continue to get better and better and better and money, yeah. And, you know, just to continue to grow. But it's those waves in life, just like grief and just like different things in life. You can be up today and it can be a great day tomorrow or even the same day. You could be, I mean, it can just hit you like a weight. And so different seasons and time and just like, and it gives a good inclination with just like summer, winter, fall changes. This is, seasons are going to change. It's inevitable.
Yes, right.
Like it or not, no matter how you feel about it, whether you think you're ready for it, whether you, it's gonna happen. And so I embrace it through so many, ever since I say we've been through a lot of seasons since Daddy had passed, these 13 years. Not only did I lose my father, but, you know, he transitioned. I went through the divorce, which is, people who've been through divorce, it's like another death. It's like, through custody battles, all three. While I was continuing to lead as a pastor and a father man and continue to work and everything else. So it's not like life took a pause and said, okay, you're grieving. Let me wait everything else. You know,
right.
Life kept on happening. And so, but with that, embracing those seasons, it was so many change. Even 2 years ago, we changed and we was like, we was at Destiny. 12 years, and we was like, we feel a change. It's like, not that we're not grateful, not that we're not a blessing. And that was a hard change to a lot of people, because that's where we went. Pastor Stevens allowed us to come there when we was in the, after we left the Macedonia Center, the Baker Building, we were outside and doing different things. And Pastor Stephen came over and seen us in the, Baker Building where it wasn't no heat and stuff, and he welcomed us to come there, and we were there. So when Daddy passed, we were still there years and doing kingdom work. And so I told my mom and different ones that it's like a time for change. And it can, what we need to realize when seasons come and they change is it doesn't always have to be a toxic or a terrible shift just because the season changed. Just because it's time to say, okay, well, right. I'm good here, but this time for the season for here as me has ended, and God is ready to do something new. He's leading me towards something new. My dad did it. I mean, he left Decatur, Alabama, came here. He started with Macedonia, First Baptist. God told him to start a new ministry. I'm actually doing exactly what, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is applicable. I'm doing what he done, and that's what he taught us to do. When I'm not supposed to be my children's God, I need to teach them to have a relationship with God. And it's going to be something that God is going to speak to them to do that I might not agree with or see. And so if they go by just my word, I'm giving, that's me being in control and not saying, well, I taught you to build a relationship with God for yourself. So God might talk specifically to you and tell you to do something that I might not understand, but I have to trust it because this is what I taught you to do.
Yeah.
And so, and that's biblical. He talked to Mary before he told Joseph that she was pregnant. So she had to tell him that, and he had to receive that, just as Moses, Joshua. And so I was like, I feel a change, y'all. And other ones in the felt that I said, we gotta change. It's time for us to do more. And so we went to the kitchen and we had like a Wednesday, Word on Wednesday service. And and then after that, getting different calls, and God led us to go to Bellefin. And so he was, okay, now we're going to unite. And that was a, Because on both sides, I was like, God, you leading me out in the water. I'm like Moses, like, this is, I ain't never been here. But I know it's God, but I don't understand it or see. So he just said, unite and build and lead. And they were grieving. We just went through losing a pastor, and it's been 12 years. So now you're able to minister 10 years ago. Then you're able to minister to people who are going through the same thing. That's what is about our life, to get it to where you know that your testimony and what you go through is not just for you. You're going to help somebody else. And so we were able to help and minister to them as they had lost their pastor, Bishop Bellafin, and we united together in unity for those 2 years and build great work in the community, in the city, with the building and the people. And then God said, it started to get a little uncomfortable. Different things were happening, and it was just showing. Sometimes we won't move unless God allows some things to move.
Gotcha.
So we get stagnant and be like, okay, well, I'm good right here. I can do this. And you're like, no, it's time. But God, you know, I'm getting comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting some things done. No, it's time. And so it was a shift in there, and it's a journey. And so, you know, everything, as he said in Romans 8:28, everything, and we know that all things work together. Not everything is good, but all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so March the 2nd, it was a new month, a new season, and God had been placing on our hearts what we should do. And I've been always saying reaching all generations. I mean, I preached two messages like in 2015 and 16 at Friendship for their youth day called Reaching All Generations. Like, this was stuff.
Wow.
So he always gives us things that were always already there. Just as he told Moses, use what's in your hands. I already gave this to you. You've been saying it. You've been, you know, you reach all generations already. Like, this is I birth what's been in you all this time. And now it's time to birth it. Just like the baby. It can't stay there more than 9 months, you know.
Right.
And sometimes it don't go 9 months. But,
or
you abort it, or it'll die. And so when is this time, the season, whether you understand it or not, and it's a step of faith. Because if you understood everything and you could pinpoint it, you wouldn't need faith. And so it was like, this is the season for y'all to step out. And so much with Lynn, seeing that with my dad and my mom, and me and her are like that now, this is something that we birth, not just I birth. Because I said, reaching all generations, I think. Yeah, you say that. Because I was thinking it, and she came to me. She said, well, what about? I said, baby, I've been saying it. Look, I wrote it down, and I showed it. And so it was so much confirmation. She was like, we're kingdom. And so it was birthed through both of us. It was confirmed. And I was like, wow. Okay, God. I know she's my purpose mate for so many different reasons. But this was we were able to birth out just as my mom and dad did. And a lot of people didn't understand it at first. They was like, why you don't start back? We're like, why you don't do this? And I said, because God, it's like God had gave that to him and them to do that at that time.
That's right.
This is what he's given to me. And so
that's right.
I'll help every capacity and continue to pour into my mother and the ministry and everything else. But this is God is doing a new thing. And this is what he's doing in this season. And I just want to be obedient.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Steve. And I think when I think of you and Lynn, I mean, y'all are really carrying on, you know, with a new ministry, but carrying on, like you say, what your dad set out to do years back. And even, you know, when I watch your lives and I haven't attended an in-person service, reaching all generations. I mean, you literally have all generations. And not only do you have all generations, you're allowing those generations to come into a shared space and worship God in their generational way. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing for me to see, you know, teens up there rapping and you explain that, like, this may be new to everybody, but, you know, and just kind of preparing people for this is what our ministry looks like. And you're honest and intentional in that way. And so congratulations to you and Lynn. I think it's awesome. I do, because I still think you're definitely carrying, you know, a smidgen of what your dad started. And even, like, he reached our generations as well. So I'm excited for y'all. Like, I really am. I'm so excited to see what God has in store for your ministry. And we're going to get to that. We're wrapping up, Steve, because I do want you to share with the people where y'all are at right now and all of that. One last question in this section, and you may have probably, I feel like you kind of answered this question, but if you had any advice to give to anyone who's dealing with grief, what advice would you have?
Embrace it. Find people that you can be real, relevant, and righteous with. Some people that you can be transparent with. As you've seen in this story, I don't hold nothing back because I want what I've been through to be a light to somebody else. Because you never know what people's going through and what they've been up against or how they dealt with it. And so, and I talked to my grandma. I was very transparent. I talked to my grandmother, which is 2 years old, and she was going to turn 93. And I asked her some years back after Diddy had passed. I said, "Grandmama, how do you do it?" And this is answering the question. I said, "Okay, you lost a husband. You lost a father. You lost a mother. You lost 3 kids. You lost brothers, sisters. Like, you've lost." I said, I'm having a time dealing with just losing a father and a pastor. But you lost mama, daddy, husband, kids. Like, how do you continue to go on?" And that's why I got her to speak when I was there at Bellefonte and Word of Life United. Got her to speak anniversary. Because to see, and she said, you know, she said, "Yeah, holding on to God's unchanging hand and the relationship with God." And I said, "But I want to hear something real, Grandma. I know that's the church answer. I know that's the biblical."
Yeah.
You know, I'm a pastor. Daddy was a pastor. We got a lot. I said, "But what was the, how did you feel every day? How did you go through that?" And she started crying and she was telling me. And I said, we had a real conversation as a grandmother and a grandson that most
awesome.
People have. Most people don't have safe space that they can be real. I'm feeling this a hard day today. This is really weighing on me. I'm missing daddy. I'm feeling grief today. I'm really feeling heavy. Like, I have people that, men of God, or pastors, or friends, that I'm like, "Man, this a hard day today, man. Can you pray with me? Can you meet up? Can we talk to me?" And it's important to do that even as a pastor, as a man, because people are holding up so much in and suffering.
Yeah.
And so you need, and even when we teamed up with Carla Walker last year with the mental awareness, whatever help you need, and I think the church has done that and done a disservice, and I want to do a disclaim on that. There is a spiritual aspect, there's a mental aspect, there's an emotional aspect, and there's a physical aspect. Spiritually, getting the word of God, building a relationship with God, learning the word, that you're not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word, applying, because the blueprint is in the Bible. It has everything that we'll go through in life. But if you need something else, you need God always. He didn't use just the scriptures. He had people. Everything in the Bible, see, with us having, you know, that's why solitary confinement is a punishment. The man, the legion in the tomb, he was by himself cutting on himself because nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody. That's a punishment. So we can get so independent to where we get in our shell or like a turtle and stay by ourselves. When you need to find this quiet to unwind, but you have to go back and be around people. And you build a community of people that you can go around. You know, as people, you got to be around at work, church, different things. But there's people that you go around that you can get love, that you can get encouragement, that you can be naked with, that you can be transparent with. I ain't having a good day. I'm just feeling, I just need to talk. I need to get this out. I need to vent. So you need that. And then if you need counseling, if you need, if you need, it's not just one thing. Everybody is not the same. You know, some people had to go through recovery or addiction places, but some people just, like, I dropped, you know, smoking, been over 13 years, 12 years now. I just stopped smoking weed and it was that. I just made a decision, a conscious decision. This ain't what I want no more. But some people need to go to recovery. Some people stopped drinking alcohol with themselves, and that was their testimony. But some people had to go through AA, and then they still got recovery. So whatever, it's not just one thing. And I always want, so that's my, get you a community of people. If we say with Jesus, he had disciples while he was discipling them, so they could learn. When you're around, if evil communication corrupts good manners, he says, seek wise counsel. Seek, you got to get in the world, saying positive energy and positive vibes. And but people that got the right spirit, got your best interest, you need to get those people in your life and know when to go to them and be open with them. And if you need to get a counselor, need to get a therapy session, do what you need, because life is too short to through and being in a state or stagnant. And that's to where you're not able to operate at a capacity of your full potential. And so it's a daily walk. It's not just
that's right, Steve.
2 days I'm good. I'm feeling good. No, it's a daily, it's year, it's 13 years in, and I'm still, whether I need to have that conversation, need to pray about this, I see different pictures, I see different things. My kids say, my youngest son, it was Steve Gray III, say, Daddy, I wish I met Granddaddy. You know, and you know, that jumps my heart. And I said, we'll look at pictures. I said, and different things. So just to pray, you know. And then as my sister's getting ready to get married, but that's the honor and privilege. She asked me to walk her down the aisle, you know, just different things. And so it's a daily thing. It's a daily. So taking it step by step, but getting her growing in your relationship with God spiritually, not only, but then getting some things practically that they can help you emotionally and mentally. And you need all those things. It's not just the word, just go pray about it. That's not good enough. That's
no, don't cut it.
That's a cop out just to say, no, you pray with them, you talk with them if you want to say that. Pray with them, talk with them, open up your door. We can come eat together. We can come, maybe we can go to a mental class. Maybe you can get therapy. You know, those are the ways. That's an easy cop out to say, just go pray about it. You know, just that's not the way. And Jesus didn't do that. He walked with them different ways of capacity. He met them where they were at. And so that was my words of encouragement and inspiration to somebody that's dealing through grief. And I've had a lot of different calls and people come to me, just like people will come to you. And when you go through it, it resonates even harder, because to talk to somebody who hasn't experienced it, it's a different level of where you saying it, but you don't understand what I've been through. You haven't been through.
That's right.
But once you walk in those shoes, you have a more transparent or more level to reach them in a different capacity, because you actually, and even though you go through the same things, you're not going to feel it the same way. You're not going to act the same way, but you at least have a platform or a level ground to where you have a deeper sympathy, empathy, and compassion for what they're going through.
Yeah, that's so true, Steve. You do need a community of people. And I'm glad you mentioned, it's crazy. And this is confirmation, honestly, it's full circle moment. Carla was my last guest, and she talked a lot about church and therapy and counseling and how important that is to have that along with you know, of course, your religious piece, but also how people, God has placed people in positions that can help us. So thank you for this complete confirmation. God, I think, feel like is telling us, wanting people listening to this podcast to know it's okay to seek help.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and that was even one of my questions for you today, actually. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up just organically, honestly, because that's very true. And I like all the steps. I was going to ask you about what you do daily practice wise, but I think what you just stated is a huge piece of it, staying connected to God, staying connected to your community of people. And, you know, that being a big piece of probably your daily routine. It has to be a daily thing. Like you said, it can't be, I'm going to do this 2 days and 5 days off. You know, it has to be a continuous cycle to get embedded in our brains. And so thank you for mentioning that. So we gonna wrap up, Steve. I want to ask you two more questions, and then I'm gonna let you kind of promote the ministry and what you have going on there. First question I'm gonna ask you is, if you could have a song be your life story, what would that song be and why?
Wow, that's a good one. I never thought about that. my life song.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Real simple.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Lord. Because being grateful and thankful, as my grandma would always say, when I would ask how she doing, I could be better, but I could be worse.
Yeah, it's so true.
That's kind of how I open up my morning. I get up, turn some worship music or pray or, you know, set the atmosphere. And just, it's hard to complain when you're grateful and thankful. Like,
that's right.
If I don't have money, if my bills ain't paid, if I'm in debt or whatever. And once you start thinking about the things that you do have, it's so easy to focus on what you don't have. And so to be grateful and thankful for what I do have, it could be worse. It could be much worse. I could be worse off. And so just to be thankful for the gift of life, for the people that have God have blessed in my life that are no longer here, and the people that God have blessed in my life now, that's one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
No, real simple, not a whole.
Real simple.
I sing a lot of songs, but that's a song me and Quentin would sing a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a grounding song, and it's so peaceful. And it's like,
yeah.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
Just want to thank you.
Good to me. You know, you made a way out of
the
way. It just gets your mind replaying, like, wow, okay, God, you've been good. And if you did it then, you can do it.
Yeah.
And so let me just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I had my moment, but Lord, I'm grateful and thankful. I don't want to act like I'm not grateful and thankful for what you've already done, what you're doing, and even what you're going to do. So, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's a good one, Steve. I ask that question to everybody that comes on this podcast because, of course, you know, it's a lot of it is in recognition of honoring Quentin. He's in music. So that is always the question I definitely ask people. And I'm glad you brought up, and I just thought about, oh, yeah, they did used to sing that together. So my last question before we wrap is, you and Quinn were really tight, like even like back in the day tight, even before we were probably teenagers, like kids tight.
Yep, yep.
And I just want to know, what is your favorite memory of Quentin?
Wow.
And I know you got a million.
Wow. Oh, wow. So many. Just to put that in a nutshell. I would say just laughing and cutting up. I won't pinpoint one exactly, but just laughing and cutting up, singing with them, going. I mean, we had a good time together. Like,
yeah.
Singing, whether it's at the house, whether it's at, you know, auntie house, whether it's at school, whether it's at church. Programs of singing, even funerals. We would find to be able to sing for other people, to be able to
encourage
people in those times. Like,
yeah.
I mean, all capacities of life, like just to enjoy. And you know, he'll say something quick, real quick. He see something in church, out of church, wherever.
You know,
I'm saying, and so and you know, it was true. But like, quick, you had to say that. I know it's true. I've seen it too. But
yes, sir.
Just the love and laughter of his life, and
yeah,
you know, it. Every moment, I would have to look back and pinpoint everyone, but just cutting up through all those different things, cutting up, having fun with them, you know, spending time with them. Wow. Okay, I'll give you one. When we drove
okay.
to Florida. When we drove to Florida.
Oh.
That was yes. the longest trip that we've ever been on. We was helping I can't remember, Moore Lincoln. She was moving from Spring Hill up here to Florida. And we helped her load up the stuff, and we drove. She paid for the U-Haul. You remember that? And we drove.
I do.
And stayed.
Yeah.
So that was the most me and Quentin, and people don't realize, I think I told Janae, but we had some real conversations. It wasn't just all fun and games. I'm talking about we had some real disagreements.
Yeah.
We had some different things that we didn't see eye, because, you know, Quentin believed strongly about what he believed in. Or,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yes.
Just different things in ministry. You
yeah.
know, like gospel rap and stuff. You're like, no, I don't like, you know.
Old school.
Because, you know, he was more of an old school. And I'm
old school.
Too, but I'm kind of a well-rounded. I've seen the gospel. I've seen the Dr. Watts hymns, quartet, which I could reach out to them. I sing the choir songs, but then I do the gospel rap. But
yeah,
we kind of get with the gospel rap. And Quentin didn't get with that gospel rap. He's like, I get you know, it just don't. I said, well, you know, just the message in it. And he really, we talked about it, and he got an understanding about it. I said, but anything. And then we talked about real life issues, like people dealing with stuff I was dealing with. You know, death, grief was one of them we talked about.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, different things. So that trip, that 13-hour, however long trip there and back, like those conversations, we really, that's one of the biggest, like, well-rounded, like, to sit in the car, like, because we would always hit and miss. We'd go spend time together, then we would go do our own thing.
Yeah.
But that, stay 3 days down there and drive all the way back, that was one of the best memories and moments and most real and well-rounded times that we had together.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing this. See, y'all remember that. I think he called me when y'all was on y'all's way. Like, I'm headed to Florida. I'm like, no, like, what?
Yeah.
Who you with? Are y'all okay? What are y'all driving? Yeah, but, you know, he was spontaneous like that.
You know, just saying.
Just do stuff. And it's like, I ain't been prepped. Like, I don't know nothing. So I definitely, and I thank God y'all was safe, because he drove crazy. Yes. So I thank God y'all got this safely and back, if he had anything. But yeah, thank you for sharing this, Steve. And like you say, he was so just really deep, like intellectually. You know, a lot of people seem the silly, but when I can talk to people like you who really knew Quentin and how deep he really was when it came to life and certain things. So I appreciate you for just sharing that, taking the opportunity to share that moment with me and also with our viewers, so they can get a snippet of knowing who he was for the people who don't know. So thank you for that. So as we wrap, Steve, I want you to just promote your ministry and anything else you want to promote in this moment, and then we will wrap up.
Okay. First, young pastor, spread the word of God, Pastor Steve Gray of Reaching All Generations Kingdom Ministry. My wife is Lady Lynn Gray. We are the founders. I'm founder of Reaching All Generations Kingdom Ministry. She is a co-founder. Started here March the 2nd of this year and been going. We meet at the Senior Citizen Building every Sunday at 11 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come meet and be with us there, be with us in fellowship. We do our lives every Wednesday at 8 o'clock on the Reaching All Generations Facebook page and on YouTube. And let me see what else. Lynn is, of course, a worker. She works for, she's in ministry as well with Shift Now Ministries, which lovely Tiffany, my sister, a woman of God, was a part of with the I Am Chosen Ministry when they did the conference and they did the panel discussion. Once again, great job. It's on Facebook. I think y'all can go back and watch that, but Tiffany did a great job as a panel discussion and so, but anyway, those different ways of ministry and continue, of course, to support her platform, the great work, the kingdom work that she is doing. I'm so proud of her. This is great work. I don't even know if she realized it at first that she turned pain into purpose and was to reach. And I'm just grateful and thankful for this opportunity because this is ministry. It's kingdom work. And God is pleased. The people that are not here are pleased and just smiling. And of course, the people that are here to see how you've grown and use this for your good, to work for your good, as it says in Romans 8:28. And upcoming events, we have, and this will be after, so July the 21st, I want to announce public event. That will be, I think it's Pray for TN. You can look it up on Facebook. Brother Scott Puget told me about it. The state of Tennessee for the month of July has proclaimed it to be a prayer and fasting month. Of course, with knowing with everything going on in the world today, we definitely need to pray. The Bible says, prayers of the righteous availeth much. Men should always pray, pray without ceasing. That means without stopping. And so, but they're going to host a event at 11 o'clock. You can go on there and it'll show all the places in Tennessee that they will be having prayer every month. I mean, every week and every week in different counties. Our county month is July the 21st. And I think it's Puckett's or at the courthouse. They will be having a prayer at 11 o'clock. And it's, of course, praying for the city, for the community, nationally, globally, a lot of different things, prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, all those different things. And the Bible tells us to pray for those in authority. So it's easy to complain, but are we praying? And so that, and then we have our youth Sundays, our second and fourth Sunday. This second and fourth Sunday, we will be doing our Jersey Days, which is we're on the same team Sunday because we're supposed to be on the same team as Body of Christ and encouraging our youth and reaching all generations. And last but not least, the last Sunday in July, we will have our regular 11 o'clock service at Reaching All Generations Kingdom Ministries at the Senior Citizen Building. But we will have a second service at 3:30. And the guest speaker will be none other than my mother, Pastor Mamie Gray Hunter, Reaching All Word of Life Ministry Church and Inner City Youth Ministry. And we will be using that service that day. Of course, she'll be the guest speaker, but we're going to honor her, give honor where honor is due through all the seasons and transitions she's been through, through being a widow, through being remarried, through divorce, through being remarried down, through all the seasons that she's been through in life and just all the years of ministry that her and my dad started and that she's continued on since then. So that'll be the last Sunday in July at 3:30. She'll be the guest speaker and none other than the Gray family will be the one singing the whole service. We'll probably sing two or three songs and then she'll give a word. And we're going to give her flowers of honor and respect and just giving her flowers where she's yet still here. And that'll be right before her birthday. It'll be that next week. So that's all I have.
Awesome, Steve. That's so exciting. I'm about to try to get to that service for sure. I haven't seen Miss Mamie in forever, so I need to get over there to support y'all. And I love the fact you're giving her flowers because she definitely is deserving. And I'm gonna have to get her on the podcast at some point if she's interested. I'm gonna have to get her up too.
Yeah,
because she has a story as well, and that's what I'm all about is stories. And thank you so much, Steve, just for your support and all the kind words you mentioned early on just about this being a ministry. And a lot of times I don't think about it that way, but people constantly tell me that. So I'm like, God, you're trying to tell me something here. So I appreciate that. And I see your growth too, Steve. You know, we've known each other a long time, hung out and just all kind of stuff. But I see the growth from, high school up until now, and God is just blessing you. So thank you so much for coming on. You just don't know, I really appreciate this. This has been a good time well spent for sure.
Thank you. It's been awesome. I'm so proud of you. Keep up the great work, and definitely supportive and love you. Thank God for you. And I mean, it's powerful. Like, and this is just another aspect of seeing, you know, reaching out, generate just kingdom ministry.
Yeah.
Ministry.
That's right.
Ministry doesn't look like just being in the church, podcast, platform, so many different ways. And even with this platform, you're able to get out a lot of stuff that most people wouldn't be able to get out in church. So you, it's even more depth and more, essential, more, personal, more applicable. Really, I mean, so this is definitely necessary. This is a place where ministry has been missing. And you feel that.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, I ain't just saying it. If I don't believe it, I'm not going to say it. Like, really, I'm not just
saying
because it sounds good. Like, if you just look around, there is no other platform. There hasn't been another platform that's like this, and it would have never came. You would have never went through what you've been through. And so that really, that Romans 8, 28, he noted all things work together. Like, this is, wow. Well, I ain't going to, because I'm starting, but all the stuff that.
No, yes, sir.
You could do,
yeah.
Like, ministry-wise, like, you're doing
exactly
what he wanted you to do, but didn't know how to communicate how to do it. Like,
you're
your purpose in kingdom work. Like, you're doing, like, wow, man, I'm gonna stop.
I appreciate it, Steve. I know, I appreciate it. I do. Quinn was just so good at being, like you say, an encourager. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like we, maybe in our box, but when life hits you, as you know, when life hits, it does shift your perspective, and you have to find a way to handle, that pain. And the whole thing, Quinn was all about helping people, like you just said, at funerals, like y'all did. You know, I just want this platform to be a place where, people are getting fed through the guests I have come on. So I appreciate that encouragement. I really do. And I know he's looking down happy, like, Stank, you're finally getting out your box. Now you need to go sing. Now you need to go do this. Now. I know. Now you need that. Now I'm gonna have, he gonna trip out. I start shouting, speaking in tongues. He ain't gonna be ready for that. But Steve, thank you so much for coming on. Like I've said it numerous times, but I always like to end every session with all is well, because Quinn used to always say that no matter what was going on, all is well. And we will be back in 2 weeks with another guest. So thank y'all so much. I hope y'all have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to seeing you back soon. Thanks. Bye.
We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.